Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger, who is the Pet Cancer Vet, a board-certified oncologist who treats dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto is see something, do something, so that cancer can be found early when it's still a treatable disease. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Sue Cancer Vet, PLLC, which are solely responsible for its content. To hear more episodes of this show and other Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with top veterinarians and pet experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com. The Radio Pet Lady Network is partnered with my other enterprise, the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the remarkable bond between dogs and their people. I will be taking the festival across the United States, including Washington, D.C., East Hampton, New York, Rochester, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix. I hope to see you in New York City at the second annual Dog Film Festival on October 15th. You can find more information at dogfilmfestival.com. The Pet Cancer Vet is brought to you by Best Pet Rx, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City that can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet Rx will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offers same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. Dr. Sue, I have a treat for us tonight. My co-host from Holistic Vets, Dr. Patrick Mahaney, is here. He's going to talk about some of the treatments that his adorable Welsh Terrier, Cardiff, has gone through, but I'd love to know, you know, what you think about them. They're novel therapies. And monoclonal antibodies sounds like a big mouthful. Dr. Patrick, it must be a busman's holiday when you get to be on another show on the Radio Pet Lady Network.
I am psyched to be here whenever I'm invited on, so thank you for having me back.
Best attitude in the world. Dr. Sue's the same. We're on the East Coast. The woman never sleeps, never eats, and she does see her boys and husband from time to time in between dashing from pillar to post. Dr. Sue,
thank you.
Let's let Dr. Patrick talk about Cardiff and what he's gone through, including, I don't know if you could do this, Sue. This is actually a good question. God forbid, touch wood, or as the Italians say, touch your balls. We'll go into that another time. If your darling, well, you're one of your labs, didn't one of your labs die from cancer, Sue? Or did she not?
No, Jeter, my kitty.
Oh, Jeter, the kitty. The kitty, yeah, yeah. Well, if you're...
He had GI lymphoma, and I treated him.
But would you have done surgery on him?
Oh, no.
Patrick did surgery.
But I don't want to do surgery on anything.
Oh, that's right. You're not a surgeon. That's funny. Not even on a frog when you were in medical school. Dr. Patrick, talk about what your boy has been through. He is quite the multiple survivor of autoimmune disease.
He's like been opened up, stitched up. Time and time again. So Cardiff is an almost 11-year-old Welsh Terrier. Turns 11 on June 20th.
Wow.
So it's a big milestone for us to reach that, because right around 2.5 years of life, he developed his first of 4 episodes of typically fatal immune-mediated hemolytic anemia, also known as IMHA, which essentially is a disease where the immune system turns on its own tissues. In Cardiff's case, it turned on his red blood cells. And there's no real traceable factor that anybody can determine in why Cardiff has this. Some dogs can have it after they receive a vaccination, or they have a hypersensitivity type reaction, like secondary to a bee sting or a snake bite or something like that. Or certain types of drugs can cause the immune system to slightly change as well, like certain antibiotics can leave residues that cause the red blood cells to be removed from circulating population, or if there's cancer in the body. But going back to 2.5 years of age when Carter first got sick from it, he didn't have cancer. But he did develop cancer in December of 2013. He also had a lymphoma of his gastrointestinal tract, T-cell lymphoma, which manifests as a tumor on a lupus small intestine, which is surgically removed. And then he
I would have fainted if it was my own animal child. Let me just interrupt for a minute. When you discovered at that early age that he had this autoimmune disease, were you told, or did you know,
And is it, in fact, the case that he was more at risk to become a cancer patient?
I wasn't sure. I really hadn't done my homework about that at that point. And then when he did develop cancer, I was curious as to if there was a correlation between his immunosuppressive medication and cancer. And from the oncologists and internists I've spoken with, they report that there isn't a correlation between his drug, which is called azathioprine, also known as Imuran, and the development of lymphoma. But there have been correlations between other immunosuppressive drugs like Atopica, which is, help me out here, I'm blanking on it, cyclosporin.
I was going to say, I think it has something to do with some skin thing.
Yeah, and so some dogs will get cyclosporin as a veterinary drug called Atopica for their skin if they have, say, like atopic dermatitis, horrible allergies. Or other dogs will get it as an immunosuppressive drug for immune-mediated disorders like the IMHA Cardiff hat, or if you're destroying your platelets, or if you're having issues where your joints are just inflamed, which is called immune-mediated polyarthropathy. So Cardiff's drug for his IMHA isn't correlated with cancer, but who knows? I mean,
well, here's a question I want to ask Dr. Sue. I wasn't even thinking of his drug having predisposed him, but having an autoimmune disease, would that predispose him? Sue, have you, in the literature or in your own practice, found dogs or even cats coming in with cancer who had some underlying autoimmune type disease, even maybe, I don't know, like a Cushing's or something?
No, I don't really think that there's a definitive link. We know that some dogs that have lymphoma at the time they're diagnosed actually have a concurrent from the cancer, IMHA, or they're attacking their platelets, but the cancer is kind of turning the body on the red blood cells or the platelets at the time of the lymphoma being first diagnosed. But it's not very common, as Dr. Patrick said, for them to have had IMHA a couple of years ago and for that to be a predisposing factor for getting lymphoma.
Right. Just curious.
That's a great question.
Because people, I mean, aren't there a few other diseases like that, uncommon, but people deal with them, dogs who have, I don't know, you know, things that are just wrong with their organs from the time they're young and they can't digest or Cushing's is an old dog's disease, right?
Usually middle-aged to older dogs are Cushing's, but that's where their body's making extra
cortisol. Oh, yeah,
cortisol,
right. That's not really autoimmune.
Yeah.
And right.
That can suppress the immune system, but different than what we're dealing with like the IMHA.
Okay, so Patrick, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about all the good years he had and then suddenly how you discovered he had lymphoma. I guess you're on pretty high alert with a guy who has underlying disease. It's in dormant or something. I hope it was dormant for a while. We'll be right back after a quick break.
The Radio Pet Lady Network is supported by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals, and their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever made in America of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds, known to provide pain relief and improve quality of life for dogs who are in pain. The innovative formula in Canine Active gives pain relief for the canine members of the family without the side effects and risks of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever.
We're back talking about Cardiff, the Welsh Terrier, who had this harsh autoimmune disease as a youngster, and then a number of years later, you found the lymphoma. How?
So I'm always super keen on every little subtle change in Cardiff's day-to-day habits. If he's not eating as well, if he's acting more lethargic, if he has any vomiting or regurgitation, or any lower digestive signs like soft stools, mucus, blood, flatulence, urgency, things like that. So anything related to the normal not being maintained, I'm on it right away. Blood testing, whatever needs to be done. So when Cardiff was acting lethargic and not eating as well again, I was like, uh-oh, are we having another IMHA episode where the immune system is kind of turning on and you feel like you have the flu? But then he also was having some vomiting and regurgitation. And vomiting is a active contraction where you expel your stomach contents. Regurgitation is very passive, where it just kind of pours out of the mouth. And so I'm like, something is wrong.
Really?
Either there's a foreign body that's partially obstructing his stomach from emptying into the small intestine, or he has an intestinal cancer. I was like, one of those two. I know it's going to be one of those two. So ultrasound revealed the mass, and then it was too small for us to get a sample of, so he had an exploratory abdominal surgery, and I assisted with this. We localized the mass. We removed a large section of intestine, tested some other tissues around, lymph nodes, spleen, liver. Everything else was clean. Sewed him back up, let him heal, and then he started his first course of CHOP protocol back in January 2015.
So that's a pretty aggressive way to go after it, and good thing you did.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, I think one of the things that Sue and I like to talk about on the show is it's nice. Nice is a dopey word. It's cool, actually, that you assisted, but I'm going to take a wild guess, because I know the answer. You didn't just go to a nice surgeon. I mean, I'm sure your surgeon was nice, but you went to an oncologist. You went to someone who specializes in cancer. In fact, you work some of the time giving acupuncture and other holistic treatments to patients that are at the cancer center in L.A. where you took him,
right? Yes, and actually the first time we were needing to have surgery, the board-certified specialty surgeon was totally, like, crazy swamped, couldn't fit him in. So I relied upon somebody who I used to work with at another hospital, who has done spays and neuters on many of my patients, and we've worked with each other for years, and I feel very comfortable with his surgical skills. And so I had him be the main surgeon, and I was the assistant. And then the second time when he had cancer, we had a board certified surgeon go in and do everything, just because at that point it was probably going to be a little more complicated. We wanted to have the utmost of expertise involved with their hands in Cardiff's abdomen.
Now, Sue, you used to have, when you were at the VCA in Yonkers, you had a soft tissue surgeon as one of the sub-specialists on your team. And now you're up in Poughkeepsie at a VCA specialty hospital. Who do you suggest that people use if they have this kind of I'd call it a delicate surgery, you know, like tumors in your guts?
Yeah, I mean, usually a board-certified surgeon. It just happens to be in some hospitals you will have a board-certified surgeon that leans towards doing soft tissue surgery, and then you will have, you know, it seems that some surgeons gravitate towards doing orthopedics. And then there are some that are like, I do both. And being board-certified surgeons, you can usually feel, you know, be comforted knowing that they're probably good at both. But where I was, we happened to have a surgeon that leaned towards doing the orthopedics and the soft tissue. So if I had a case like Cardiff, I would go to the soft tissue leaning surgeon for it. But she could also, you know, repair a hit by car if she was, could do both. It's not
right.
Like she never had training in both of those. The interesting thing for, you know, lymphoma, and this is something I actually just discussed with a client today in the exam room, which, you know, is a golden retriever with an intestinal mass that was aspirated, and it came back T-cell lymphoma and also had very big lymph nodes. And, you know, the question is, do we cut it out? In general, you know, for lymphoma, the thought is for because it's not usually in the intestines, right, Tracy? Mm-hmm. We talk about it. It's usually in the lymph nodes under
right.
the skin, by the
yes.
jaw, by the shoulders, by the knee, and then in the liver and the spleen and the internal lymph nodes in the abdomen. And only 5 to 7% of dogs with lymphoma have intestinal involvement. And unlike the other form, which is usually the B subtype, the one in the intestines tends to be T cells. So in that sense, Cardiff was very classic. But in general, for lymphoma, removing the cancer out of the intestinal tract doesn't eliminate the need for chemotherapy, because it's a systemic cancer. It's in the lymphatics. So for a lot of lymphoma cases, even if it's in the intestinal tract, we won't do surgery. They'll go straight through chemotherapy. If they're obstructed, so it really varies on your oncologist, and if they're obstructed, so we see more intestinal lymphoma in cats. And so if they're obstructed, meaning they can't pass anything, because this, you know, think about a hose, you know, and a mass growing around a hose and nothing can get through, that's one that we'll definitely take to surgery. But for a lot of them, if you just remove the segment where it's growing, it's in other areas as well, and that's why they still need chemo. So, you know, for other people who are listening, said, oh, my dog had intestinal lymphoma and they didn't cut it out. That may have been okay right. in that case. Same thing for cats. If they're not obstructed, not all of them will get surgery. It really depends on the case.
That's good because, Patrick, we're always thinking about people listening going, but wait, did I do this right or wrong? Did my vet do it right or wrong? We want to tell people there's many different ways to deal with this depending on where it right. presents. We're going to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about this novel therapy that he's on now, the T-cell monoclonal antibody, which sounds very new age. We'll be right back.
This show is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced, healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils. This show is also supported by WikiWags, male doggy diapers with a belly band that wraps around your boy dog's belly with a disposable absorbent pad. For male dogs of any size who have been peeing indoors, urine marking, excitability, incontinence, and house training issues, these are the problems WikiWags solves. WikiWags.com. That's www.wikiwags.com, where you'll find the relief you've been looking for.
We are back. Dr. Patrick Mahaney, my co-host from The Holistic Vets, which you all, I hope, listen to, talking with Dr. Sue about T-cell monoclonal antibody as being, is it like cutting edge, Dr. Sue, like the next great thing in cancer treatment, or is it only for this certain kind of cancer?
Well, for at this point, the two that Aratana, this company, have been working on are for B-cell and T-cell lymphoma. But in people, monoclonal antibodies, the trade name for the common one is rituximab, has really been very important in extending the lifespan of people with lymphoma. And it's usually these monoclonal antibodies are given in conjunction with chemotherapy. And so, you know, with lymphoma, we kind of hit this wall where you know, it doesn't matter what drug they're on. The survival time just sort of plateaus. But in humans, by adding this monoclonal antibody that is only for people and couldn't be used in dogs, which was very frustrating for us in veterinary oncology. You know, we're always like, when are we going to get a monoclonal antibody? It really allowed, you know, people to get much longer remission times than they ever had. And so Aratana is this great company that has been working on a B cell version and a T cell version of the monoclonal antibodies. And the sort of the cliff note version of it is this monoclonal antibody targets the cancer cells very specifically and then brings the immune system in to come in. It basically puts a flag on the lymphoma cells, and that flag will draw in the immune system through a couple of different mechanisms to kill the cancer cells. So the chemo directly kills the cancer cells. This basically just kind of, again, puts that flag in the surface of the lymphoma cells to get the immune system to come in and do some killing.
Patrick, was this something that wasn't available when he was first
diagnosed?
That's
correct. I was going through clinical trials at the time.
Wow.
And Cardiff's oncologist, who's overseeing his care this time, Avanel Turner, was part of one of the clinical trials at Veterinary Cancer Group, so she had patients take it
right.
before. And there's not a lot of, according to what I understand from Dr. Turner, is that there's not a lot of confidence that in dogs with T-cell lymphoma it's going to change the game that much. But it is generally safe. There's the potential there can be a hypersensitivity or allergic type reaction to it, or it could induce something like an immune mediated response. So the immune system.
Oh my God!
We just can't win here. But like Sue said, Cardiff got this in conjunction with getting chemotherapy. So he would actually get chemo on the same day as his antibody one day of the week, and then another day of the week, a couple days later, like 3 days later, he would get his second injection of antibody. So he actually had intravenous infusions of antibodies twice weekly for 4 weeks, and then he got it every other week for possibly five additional treatments. And to be honest, he generally seemed to feel better when he got the infusion of antibodies. And I've never had this done
myself.
But I know of people who travel to third world countries and they get an antibody infusion to try to upregulate their immune system before they travel, and they generally feel good. And so just observing the whole...
Wait a minute. Go back for a minute to this human thing. That sounds like something nutty like Rod Stewart does of going and getting fetal cells somewhere on an island. I mean, not to drop names, but just things that one hears about. What is it that people do?
So I've been told people get antibody infusions in order to try to make their immune system stronger and more resistant to unusual pathogens that they might encounter when they travel in foreign countries. But
yikes! I mean, are they going as a doctor without border and they have a really good reason, or they just need to go someplace exotic, dangerous, and sick-inducing?
One was going to like a South American-type third world country to do a Doctors Without Borders type thing, and she said when she took that.
Really? Have you ever heard of that, Sue, of people taking these antibodies?
Not for that, but I guess it's something that something that's really kind of come up in my world. So,
but that's really amazing. Yeah. Very. But this antibody that's given along with the chemotherapy, it went through. I'm sorry, I'm never tongue tied. It went through trials well enough that they're prescribing it, and yet it was kind of like hit and miss depending on the patient.
So what happened with it is it was going through clinical studies, and they were collecting data, and then they started to make it available through what they called a clinical experience program. So they started giving it to board certified cancer specialists. And that we could start giving it to our patients as they were finishing looking up. They were running a bunch of clinical trials, and then they said, okay, it's very safe. It's tolerated really well. We're going to make it available to a limited number of sites. Then in the fall of last year, the company made a press release that the T-cell version, the one that Cardiff is on, they ran the numbers and they looked at the studies, and that it didn't seem to be adding significant survival times to the dogs in the studies. I went from being, oh my God, this is great, I'm going to recommend it, I'm so excited that I have it available, that maybe we need to see more data. Maybe we're not the protocol. You know, maybe the intervals we're giving it aren't right. Maybe there are only some T-cell dogs. But there are dogs that are getting it that have these really long survivals. T-cell dogs, lymphoma, and, you know, Dr. Patrick knows this, they statistically live much shorter, you know, usually less than a year, even with chemotherapy and all the things that he's done. So, you know, to have a dog that's out over 2 years – is it because of the monoclonal antibody? We don't know.
Right.
I also, just to play devil's advocate, I have another T-cell dog lymphoma tank that had high blood calcium, all these other negative predictors, and he just celebrated his 2-year anniversary with just chemotherapy, right? So you just don't know, but it's one of the things that the monoclonal antibody, we are at like just the tip of the iceberg in learning, and
right.
They also have a different version for B cell. Again, that they're doing all the proper scientific studies, but we're not sure what the role of this version of the T cell monoclonal antibody will be and which patients will benefit from it. So again, for our other listeners out there, if you're like, well, why didn't, you know, my dog was just diagnosed with T-cell lymphoma last week, and I just saw a cancer specialist. Why didn't they mention the monoclonal antibody? Have the discussion, because it's not inexpensive, and we're not sure what the benefit is at the moment. But we're working on it. Trust us. We all want monoclonal antibodies to work. You know, there's talk, if it works, will dogs be able to get less chemotherapy with the monoclonal antibody? Like, we have a lot of great ideas of how these may fit in, but we need to make sure that they're working for the right patients.
Of course, in your case, Patrick, you probably get, you know, like a professional discount. And even if you don't, if I were you and I knew something was there that might help by weeks or months, I'd be all over it. I'd be so grateful. So we'll find out later what the statistics are. But to each individual cancer patient, whether it's human or animal, it doesn't really matter what the statistics are. You have your own individual path that you're on, right? Cardiff is on the high road.
I say that all the time, is that, you know, have these dogs that are quote unquote supposed to do poorly, and then they do great. And then there are some dogs that, you know, I have some B cell lymphoma dogs that don't do as well as my T cell. And the owner's like, but you told me this one was going to do better. And, you know, and so statistics will never predict the individual. And so I think it's really good information for pet owners to know is available. Hopefully we're going to learn more about it. And I do want to give props to Aratana, the company that is developing both of these, because they're pouring a lot of their heart and soul and obviously financing into getting the studies done correctly. And they're a really good company. I have friends at the company, and I believe that, they were pretty crushed as well when, you know, some of the early studies in the T cell, but I think they have some good products in the pipeline. And I think, you know, we're going to be hearing more about the B and the T cell monoclonal antibodies in the future for sure.
Patrick, I'm really glad that you're able to get it for him. I'm really glad that we're talking about it and people can hear about it as something they should ask about and ask for. Seems to me like if you can afford it, and by the way, if you have pet insurance, Sue, is it covered? Is it considered like too experimental to be covered?
I would think that it is not. Both of them are FDA approved, and actually just last week when I was at Western, they announced that the B-cell version, which I want to say is called Blantress, was just FDA approved. So they're available probably only through cancer specialists at this point. And I think the T-cell one might be approved as well. So
so if they're approved and you have a good insurance company, and I've now gotten to the point where I say to people, use Healthy Paws, because Dr. Gail Watkins on Good Dogs, her dog had this rare and horrible brain situation. I forget the name of this horrible disease, and had to go drive up to Cornell and have things done to its brain. And Healthy Paws covered the whole thing. And my sister had some company that's been around a long time. And I told her to switch. And her little Brussels Griffin got super sick with cardiac and now something else. And they're covering sort of nothing. I only bring that up because if it is expensive and you put aside money and you want to, you know, add that extra level of maybe help, but if you have pet insurance, which please, if your dog is 2 or 12, get insurance. Healthy Paws covers older dogs. If they haven't had a disease or a sickness yet, it's covered. So then you could be like Patrick, who says, give me everything you got, because this boy is going to make good use of it. And I'd love Cardiff to be the one that disproves the other statistics. He already is, right?
Oh, yeah. He's living, and I mean, there's really no foreseeable end to his life at this point. There's nothing. Like,
he's Wonder Dog.
His every 3-week chemotherapy treatments now, provided that keeps his microscopic disease, like it helps to kill cancer cells so they don't become tumors. If we can keep doing that, and his body is not really suffering any significant toxicity from it that we can detect from his day-to-day behaviors in terms of eating and energy and things like that, and also his blood work is really very quite good the whole time. And also from like a double-edged sword standpoint, we are immunosuppressing him with his chemo, so hopefully that will help to prevent him from developing another IMH episode. So it's like a win-win here.
Oh, my goodness. It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, this is a dog thriving on chemotherapy and added therapies. All I can say is those of you that are in Los Angeles, you know that the Dog Film Festival will be there June 4th and 5th, and Cardiff is going to be one of the stars at the party at the VCA Hospital in West Los Angeles on June 4th, the afternoon tea. You can go to the dogfilmfestival.com website and get tickets. There's only 150 total tickets. So once they find out that Cardiff's there, these tickets are going to go like hotcakes, because, you know, it's going to be like going to Lourdes, pat this dog, and it will bring you good luck for life. This guy is like the lucky dog for a lot of reasons, not just his health. Patrick, thank you for being here. And Dr. Sue, thank you so much for being a cheerleader for this company, which, thank God, they are making these things available for dogs and cats.
It's pretty revolutionary for lymphoma in dogs. It really, really is. They also have some other great arthritis medications. And this is one, Tracy, that, you know, we'll have to talk about on a future show. They have an appetite stimulant for dogs and cats, which, as we all know, is, you know, something, right, Patrick, for our pets that aren't eating, you know, getting a cat that doesn't want to eat stimulated to eat. So they have some other really cool products in the non-cancer field as well, coming out in the next year or two. So very exciting stuff.
Really excellent. And let's hope Cardiff doesn't need it, but if he's ever feeling inappetent, he can be next in line, since he's going to live another 10 years.
I meant for other patients.
But he went through periods of being inappetent, a word I like to use as often as possible. Since he's going to live till 20 and break all Guinness Book records, you know, by the time it comes to market, if he needs it, it'll be available. Thank you both so much. And, you know, really kudos to Cardiff for breaking all records. It's really a wonderful, happy-making story. So nobody should give up hope. If Cardiff can do it,
absolutely,
you can
thanks
do it.
Thanks for having us.